majority of those on the call could meet on July 16th and July 21st. Are there those on the call who cannot make either of those next potential decisions?
I'm sorry, there was some interference. You're talking about the 21st, and what's the other date?
July 16th. Wednesday, July 16th.
Is that the third?
Third Wednesday of the month.
This is Kim.
Yes, Kim.
I move that we establish the third Monday of every month till the end of the year, and then we can get secondary dates. So I move right now that we establish the third Monday as our established date. Let's get one thing done at a time. Can we
point of order, Janet K?
Can we do that?
Yes, Janet K.
I have had a meeting and the next regular or the first regular meeting after that. Could we settle that first?
No, I had said
the 7th and the 21st. And Jim said he was not able to make it.
Then I'll correct myself. I just made a substitute motion.
Okay. Excuse me. Madam
Chair.
Yes.
I appreciate if you would instruct the members not to do the back and forth cross talk. It's not a private conversation at the meeting. It should be recognized.
I'm sure that's correct, Serene. I'm not quite in that kind of mode, but I will remind each other. Be respectful of each other. I didn't hear a second to either of the motions presented by Kim or Janet. And so at this juncture, we did hear who cannot make it on July 7th. I would like to strongly suggest that we move ahead with meeting that someone complete a motion for a regular established meeting date through the end of the month, and that we make a secondary effort to find the next possible meeting date before July 21st. Hey, that is, I can hear you.
This is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
I'm confused. I thought there was no objection to the 16th I thought there was no objection to either motion. Is there?
I could not tell because of the conversation kept going in another direction.
Janet Kay.
Yes, Janet.
I move that starting with July, we meet, this committee meets on the third Monday of every month, and also for July, that an additional meeting on July 16th be scheduled.
This is
Lydia, and I'll second.
Thank you. Any objection to the motion as presented?
Are there more than one motion on the floor right now?
There may be, but I am honestly going to tell you as a chairperson, I'm not going to be Miss or Mrs. or Mr. Robert Rules of Order, and I will try to be fair, and I will try to accommodate what I think is...
No, I'm just trying to keep up with what's going on.
Yeah, they're free on the floor.
I have to admit that I heard first out of a motion and a second to only one, and I'll stand corrected. Is there any objection to the motion as presented by Janet, taking aside the fact that it's been pointed out to me that there were two other motions for whom I don't hear a lot of conversation or squealing about trying to pass them or go through the Robert Rules of Order about how they're decided?
This is Kim.
Yes, Kim.
What I'm hearing is there are no objections to the third Monday of the month, and I don't know about the 16th. So it's, you know, that's the extra date is the one in contention, so I don't know about that. But there seems to be no objection to grabbing the third Monday till the end of the year.
Okay, I'll ask one additional time. Is there any objection to the motion as presented? Meeting the third month day of each month to the end of the year and a quote unquote caption on Luzette, Janet Coleman, and Hank Lamb.
Okay. I'm wondering if we can just agree to set the next two meetings and poll the committee?
We tried that, Serene, and I, at this point, will ask if we could vote on the motion as presented.
I'm sorry, you tried what?
Excuse me?
You said you tried that. You tried what?
I suggested that we poll members outside of this meeting to determine additional or second meeting.
Right. No, what I'm sorry, maybe I wasn't being clear. What I was suggesting was that we go ahead and set two meetings now and then poll the committee for the regular meeting date.
I didn't hear any objection to the regular meeting date, Serene, and so I'd like to take a vote on the motion that's been presented for the regular meeting.
I understand what you're saying, but the fact that none of us on the call objected to the third Monday doesn't mean that it's automatically fine for the people who are not here, and there's really no harm in polling them before we lock them for a year.
Serene, I'd like to take the vote on the motion as presented. The third Monday of the month was indicated in the emails that I sent to the committee, with the exception of Jim Brown, who I missed, but obviously he still got the information. And so I'd like for us to move forward on the vote on the motion on the floor, please.
Would you like me to read the roll?
That was, yes, please.
Okay. I'm not an alpha. I'm just, as I wrote it down, Kim.
Janet Kay, point of information.
Yes, Janet.
This motion is the one where it's the third Monday of every month and then an additional meeting on July 16th. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is what we're voting on.
Okay.
So, would you please call the roll quickly?
Yes. Kim votes yes. Janico. Richard Uzzell.
Yes.
Jose Luis Fuentes.
Abstain.
Jim Brown.
Yes.
And Serene.
Abstain.
All right. So that's 5-2.
I'd like to vote, please.
Oh, I'm sorry, Janice. Yeah, I saved you for the last. Go ahead.
My vote is yes.
Okay, thank you.
I count 5 yes and 2 abstentions.
I'm at 6 yes now and 2 abstentions.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
Okay, the next agenda item is the review of the existing executive director job description, which was distributed with this meeting notice. Floor is open for discussion.
So, Jose Luis?
Yes, Jose.
Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA. So, I move that we amend the current job description to remove the executive director supervising the chief financial officer or hiring national office staff. That would be in Section 2 definitions.
Section 2 and definitions, if I may repeat so that I understand, you're recommending that the job description be revised to remove the executive director from the responsibility of supervising and hiring the CFO and hiring and or supervising national office staff?
Correct.
This point of order, Jose, because this is a more complicated amendment, can you send it to me, please?
You can try. To what list? I don't...
Just send it to me, and I'll put it in the minutes. Because it's a little complicated, and, you know, Janice rephrased what you said, so... Because this is pretty specific language.
Janet, a point of information?
Yes, Janet.
Well, Jose Luis, who then would be responsible for hiring the national staff?
It would be according to the bylaws.
And would you please be so kind to give us your reading of those bylaws for those who may not be right on top of that?
Well, the responsibility falls on the Pacifica National Board to oversee the foundation, and there would be recommendations.
Is that a direct reading from the bylaws? Okay. Can you refer us to that specific language?
I just referred you to the bylaws.
I'm sorry, is there a section... 5-3, line 4.
I don't have access to it.
Okay, this is Lydia.
Yes, Lydia.
Okay, so Article 9, Section 7, Executive Director, since that's what we're doing, we should
read
it.
Wait, Article 9, Section 7?
Yes, Officers of the Foundation, Executive Director. Just in its entirety, so that it's not excerpted, the president of the foundation shall be referred to as executive director. The executive director shall be the general manager, chief executive officer, chief administrator of the foundation. Selected, supervised, and discharged by the board. In addition, his or her performance will also be subject to annual evaluation by each OSB, which may make recommendations to the board. Subject to the control of the board, the executive director shall have general supervision, direction, and control of business and the officers of the foundation, and the primary responsibility for implementing the directives, decisions, and policies of the foundation and the board pertaining to administration, personnel, programming, financing, and public relations. The executive director shall generally promote, coordinate, and supervise the mission of the foundation, shall have such powers, and perform such duties as may be delegated or assigned to him or her by the board. Then the chief financial officer, which this is what we're talking about, shall, and then it tells all about the, okay, well, I better read that too. Chief financial officer shall keep and maintain or cause to be kept maintained adequate and correct books, records of accounts of properties, business transactions of the foundation, including accounts of its assets, liabilities, receipts, disbursements, gains, losses, capital, and retained earnings. The books of accounts shall be open to all at all reasonable times to inspection by any director upon demand. The chief financial officer shall cause to be deposited all monies and other valuables in the name and to the credit of the foundation, which such depositories as may be designated by the board, she, he shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed as she, he may be properly directed from time to time, shall render to the executive director and the board an account of all of his transactions as chief financial officers and of the financial condition of the foundation whenever requested, and shall have other such powers and perform such other duties as may be prescribed by the board, by the bylaws. So, and then under the board it says that we hire both and they report to both. But the issue here was that in 08, this language was added to the job description, and which was, you know, counter to the intent of the bylaws and the wording of the bylaws, which says the chief financial officer shall render to the executive director and to the board an account of all of his transactions, etc. So that was like the reporting of finances to the executive director, not the supervision of. Your supervisor is the person who hires and fires you, or the entity, in this case, the board. And in 2013, in fact, at our November meeting, many of you may, who were on the board at the time will recall that Carolyn Burden said she would like to make an amendment to return back to when the ED was not supervising the CFO.
Well, there
I support the amendment.
Thank you, Lydia.
This is Kim.
Yes, Kim.
Well, I don't think that this committee is the appropriate committee to change the bylaws, and I don't think that's what we should be doing. For right now, the ED is the CEO and responsible for everything. The buck stops with the ED, and if you want to make a bylaws amendment, that's something different. But for right now, if the ED doesn't supervise the CFO, I don't know who will. At any rate, this is, you know, we're getting into bylaws amendment stuff here, and I don't think that's appropriate.
I'm sorry.
Point of information, please.
I'm sorry, I can't hear when two people are talking. I heard, I believe, Serene, and I heard someone else's voice.
Lydia after Serene.
Yeah, and then Janet K.
Serene, Lydia, Janet K.
Jose Luis.
Oh, thank you.
And Jose, and then myself.
Okay, yes. Thanks. And I'm sorry, I don't have the job description in front of me now. I'll have it in a couple of minutes. But two things. I just wanted to point out that member Fuentes Roman is Jose Luis, not Jose. He prefers to be addressed as Jose Luis, and we've consistently done that on the board, so it would be good if we could do that on this committee.
I'm sorry, Serene, you said that so quickly that I don't understand what you're saying. Am I mispronouncing his name?
His name is Jose Luis. That is how he's addressed. You've been addressing him as Jose.
Thank you. I think that he can also remind me of that as well. I appreciate that attention to detail.
Thank you, Serena. And Janice, if you could please call me by Jose Luis, would be great.
Thank you. All you need to do is call me. I'm not objecting against it. I wasn't aware that that was the proper way to address you. Thank you. Serena, is there something else you wanted to
say? Yeah, my question to Lydia is that I don't have the job description in front of me, but if I follow, correct me, you were saying that you're trying to, in supporting Jose Luis's motion, you're trying to amend the job description to match the bylaws, not that you're trying to change the bylaws, right?
Yes, that's correct. And I'm about to send the section I hadn't gotten to yet, which is actually,
okay,
because I heard it characterized differently, and I wanted to be sure I wasn't confused. Thanks.
Okay, Lydia, and then Janet K., and then Jose Luis, and then myself.
Yes, okay. So here is the reading of the bylaws under the powers of the PMB. Article...
Point of information, what section?
Article 5, Section 1, and number 5, under powers. Appointing, supervising, and discharging the foundation's executive director, chief financial officers, and all foundation officers, prescribing powers and duties for them as are consistent with the law and these bylaws, and setting salaries and wages. And Serene is correct. I'm not suggesting changing the bylaws, quite the opposite. I'm saying comply with the bylaws. And so I think that the line that says, under the direction, staff works under the direction of the CFO, all Pacifica staff, including the CFO and other national financial staff, report to the ED. That, first of all, it's contradictory since the previous sentence says the national financial staff works for CFO. But nevertheless, so that needs to be compliant with the bylaws as it had been previously prior to the revision in 2008.
Janet Kay is next.
And then Kim, please.
Okay. Kim, you're after me. Janet Kay.
Okay. So, Jose Luis, I think you talked about two changes, one involving the CFO and the other involving the hiring of the national staff. It's that second part that I'm addressing. And based on what I can see from the bylaws, since the executive director shall be the general manager, chief executive officer, and chief administrator of the foundation, I can't see who else would hire the national staff.
Thank you, Janet Kay. Jose Luis, you're next.
So, I am not proposing a bylaw change. I am proposing that we obey the bylaws and conform these job descriptions of the PMB to reflect the bylaws. And the bylaws give all power to the executive board, well, to the PMB, not to the executive director. So there's a couple of sections that need to be amended. I'm working on the motion to send to Kim and Ellen.
You keep interrupting me, Janice.
Do you mind if I finish?
Because I'm not hearing you very well.
I don't know what's going on with your phone. Can I finish? Hello?
Oh, I thought I was to be quiet so you could finish.
Okay. So, of the current executive director's Section 2 definitions, we would remove the including hiring station managers of five sister stations, national staff, with the exception of chief financial officer. We would delete all that and just leave it at Pacifica bylaws. Then we would also change finances, paragraph 19, monitoring and or authorizing expenditures appropriate in accordance with budgets approved by PMB, including but unlimited to check authorizations, reimbursement consultant hires, and unbudgeted expense approvals. And we would also, under promotions, paragraph 30, serving as the spokesperson for Pacifica Foundation. So those are the sections that my motion is to amend and just remove. Now, as to Janet Coburn's question, who would do it? the executive director follow the bylaws and make recommendations to the PMB. And if the PMB and the finance committee and the money is there to hire national office staff, the PMB and its reasoned judgment will approve it or not approve it if there's no money. We can't have a situation in which we have an executive director making expenditures which the foundation cannot afford at this point in time.
Is there a stack?
Are you done with Jose Luis?
Yes.
This is Lydia.
Lydia, you're after Kim. I'm next, and then Kim is next. I'd like to ask that the recommendations that you noted, Jose Luis, be sent to the committee if at all possible, so that each person who at least has access to computer can also try to absorb by reading what you are recommending. Kim, then Lydia.
Richard, I have a question when you get a minute.
Okay, I'll put you on after Lydia.
Jose Luis, I really need all this stuff written because I can't follow it. I can't possibly write it all down. I'm not sure whether you're referring to bylaws or to the job description. Can you please resend to me or to the group the job description with your proposed changes in them? Because I don't know where you're referring to, and you know, I need that before we can vote on it. And as to the bylaws amendments, I am not sure what Lydia referred to. I couldn't find them as she was speaking, so we need to really be on the same page with this in order to take a vote on this. And that's my request. And one other point. There is a budget. The National Finance Committee makes the budget. The ED follows the budget. And the, you know, on a good day, when we have a CFO who's preparing financials for us, we monitor that every month or quarterly. So the ED does not, you know, every station, every GM is responsible to stay within their budget. This is the process for, you know, making budgets and following budgets. I don't understand what, I don't know what your language was or should be, but the process is that the PNB does monitor the budget and the expenditures.
Lydia and then Richard.
Yes, I move to divide for the different sections, but and also I'm going to send another amendment to this to the job descriptions. But Kim, are you using the AT&T address or the Gmail address? Which would you prefer?
AT&T.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Richard, do you have a question? And it's possible you may be muted, Richard.
Yes, I was muted. I'm sorry. I have a question for Mr. Fuentes. Are you proposing that that we take the executive director's input on hiring the staff away and replacing that with the finance committee hiring the staff? Hello?
Jose Luis, are you muted?
No, if you allow me to answer.
Certainly. There was a pause.
Okay. No, I am not proposing that the Finance Committee make the decision. I'm proposing that you follow the bylaws and the PM comes up to the PMB. Executive Director believes that the money is
I'm sorry, I can't hear that for the fire truck. I'm whatever it is. Please mute. Somebody's got a fire truck. Thank you.
If the executive director believes there's money in the budget to hire national office staff, and if it's the chief financial officer agrees and it comes up to the PMB as a recommendation, I'm sure the PMB...
But what is this talking about? Is this talking about hiring the staff? Is that what you...
So I am looking at the job description of the executive director, and I am just talking about amending the job description of the executive director.
But you're probably talking about it for some reason, right? You're talking about it for some reason. And is that reason to take responsibility away from the executive director and give it to the finance committee?
Madam Chair?
I'm just trying to get clarification on your motion.
Well, you have to be called on.
I'm sorry, I was muted. I know that that's a process that has been established. I know that there are many of you on this committee who find that sacrosanct. Unless there is a reason to tamper back and forth conversation, I would hope that we could continue to just move ahead unless there is someone who has already been placed in a stack, and so far after Richard, there was no one.
Janet Kay.
So, Jose Luis, did you finish your comment as you intended?
Yes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, do I not get an answer to my question?
I can ask Mr. Fuentes to answer your question.
And I answered it, and it was no. I'm not proposing that the Finance Committee do the hiring.
Who would you propose do the hiring if you're going to take it away from the executive director?
It would go through a process in which the executive director, in agreement with the chief financial officer, would present at a PMB meeting her or his recommendations of what is needed in the national office, and if the PMB agrees, will authorize the hire. The executive director can then hire the person.
If you had to work in an office like that, would you do it? That's an unworkable situation, sir.
I'm not arguing.
This is Kim.
I think that Janet K is next, then Kim.
Okay. Jose Luis, I would be unable to vote on your motion without seeing the language of what it says. I haven't seen it yet.
It's just removing. I'm sorry to interrupt. It's just removing.
No. Removing parts of this and parts of that, and you talked about Section 2 and then Section 30 and Section some other, I mean, a whole number of things. So I really would need to see it explaining that this would be removed, that would be removed, etc., and I don't know whether you said anything about adding anything. But
no adding.
Okay. And for things that you would be removing, I would want to know what alternative there would be. I mean, you talked about a process for hiring national staff or something like that, something that a process. That process does not exist. So that's a whole separate issue that has not been resolved, and right now the way it seems to work is that the executive director hires national staff. So until that is changed, I can't see how it would be different than how that part could be removed.
Sorry, Jose Luis, I did not hear you, but I did know that Kim is next on the staff. We have, just as a reminder, 50 minutes remaining. I'm sorry. Actually, 20 minutes remaining in this meeting.
Okay. Am I next, Janet?
Yes, you are.
Okay. I agree with Janet Coburn. I need to see all this in writing because it's just too confusing. I can't write it down as secretary. I don't know what I'm being asked to vote on. It sounds like a whole bunch of contradictions. I'm hearing bylaws amendments, which seem to contradict, bylaws read. I'm not sure what they are because there are other ones that I don't think have been read that are contradictory. If you look at Article 9, Section B, subject to the control of the board, the executive director shall have general supervision, direction, and control of the business and the officers of the foundation and the primary responsibility for implementing the directives, decisions, and policies of the foundation and the board pertaining to administrative, personnel, programming, financing, and public relations. To change that, you're changing the bylaws. And I think we're getting into, I don't know how to say that this is not the place to change bylaws amendments. And dueling bylaws, reading here, I don't think it's going to solve anything. And I don't think it's going to be correct. And I don't know. I haven't seen it from Jose Luis yet, so I don't know what to say other than this is very tricky.
Okay, I don't have anyone else next on the stack. I do admit that I would need to be able to see the proposed changes as presented by Lydia and Jose Luis Fuentes before coming to a conclusion. And my perspective from a nonprofit administrator would also require that there be some additional discussion informing the members of the committee who in fact or how in fact the proposed changes would impact the national office, the board, and the associated stations. And without seeing the document, I certainly am having a challenge in being able to absorb the scope of the change, as well as putting it in the perspective of the position of the executive director of the network needing to have some consistency in the decision-making process that is typically assigned to positions of this stature.
Jose Luis Fuentes for the STAC. It's the second time asking.
I'm sorry, I did not hear you the first time. I'm not known to ignore anyone. Jose, please, unit. Okay.
So I sent the removals that my motion covers, and I would point out that paragraph 6 of the current executive director's job description has hiring, coordinating, and terminating supervised national staff in consultation with the PNB. And that section would remain. The sections that would be removed are the contradictory ones that contradict number 6 and that has resulted in us being over $1.8 million in deficit as a foundation. I would also point out that at the Washington, D.C. National Board, a motion was passed by the National Board restricting the executive director from hiring, firing any personnel from the foundation. And that was passed by a majority vote. So there is nothing that would prevent us from continuing with what the Pacifica National Board has already ruled in restricting the executive director position. I'm just making it consistent with the Washington, D.C. motion, and we can make it consistent when this comes back up for vote at the PNB, if anyone doubts that it isn't consistent.
Richard, to the stack.
Janet, can you point of information?
Point of information, and then Richard.
So, Jose Luis, you said something. You were reading item 6 under the job description, something about hiring, coordinating, and terminating supervised national staff in coordination with the board, the PNB. Did you say that? Or, because I don't see that.
In consultation.
Sorry?
In consultation.
In consultation. So that would be something that would be added. Because
That's there now.
No, it's not. Not the one I'm looking at.
There now. It's number 6. Go to kpftx.org, where the documents are posted.
Okay.
Richard, are you next?
Yes, I'm here. I would like to move that this motion be postponed until the next regular meeting, which I think is the third Monday in July. And in the meantime, that information pertinent to this be sent to all the members of this committee.
Is there a second? I'll second the motion.
Sorry, I was on mute, but I was going to. This is Kim. I haven't seen anything in writing. This is way too confusing to even take a vote on. We have.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Are we going to be recognized before we speak here, or what?
I didn't hear anyone else asking to be recognized. To read. I didn't personally hear someone ask to be recognized. And if it is the desire of this group that someone wait until they are called upon, even though there was no one asking to be called upon, I will adjust my process.
I think it would be a good idea for members to ask for the floor before they begin to speak. One does not second a motion and then launch into something else.
Okay, I'm sorry, Serene. I seconded the motion, not someone else.
Janet Kay.
Does that make it worse?
Janet Kay.
So the member just spoke without being recognized. The member that wants people to be recognized. So I don't understand.
It's not at all inconsistent. Apparently, since there is no rule, I'll join the no rule game.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a tone at which I would hope that we can continue to convey to each other that has the least possibility of raising hackles amongst each other. And if we can try to start off this meeting in that way, I have some hope that we can continue to maintain a level of human civility throughout the rest of the year. If there's someone who was wishing to speak, there's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. But process may suggest that there are two people who speak for or two people who speak against. I know that that's done at the national level. I will admit that I have not participated in or on a committee where that process has also taken place. At this juncture, I'm open for suggestions, particularly noting that we have 10 minutes remaining in the meeting. The materials that would likely allow each of us to make an informed decision on the motion may not be in front of each of us. And so I would ask if there's someone else who's waiting to be heard.
Janet Kay, point of information.
Serene. Yes. Janet Kay and then Serene.
So, Richard, your motion is to postpone this until the next regular meeting. Is that July 21st or July 16th?
Regular meetings are the third Monday
okay,
of the month.
Okay, so to not do this, to not postpone it to the 16th, but to the 21st.
I don't know what that thing on the 16th is. I thought that was something special.
Yeah, that's just an additional meeting that we scheduled before the 21st.
So I was moving it to the next regular, moving it a month down the road.
This is Kim.
Serena is next, and then Kim.
Okay. I would like to propose that we do one of two things, and I would prefer the former, or prefer the first, which is that we agree to extend this meeting and complete the job description. We should not be sitting, getting a job description approved is the beginning of what is going to be a relatively long process, and it is crucial that the position be filled. So the very idea of postponing the beginning of the process for a month is, for me, completely unacceptable. So I would propose that we simply extend this meeting, for half an hour to...
Point of information? Point of order?
I do not yield. Not in the middle of my statement. So that we extend...
Excuse me, my committee person, Serene, I believe it's someone else's responsibility to tell someone that they're either out of order or not supposed to talk at this time. Would you like to finish your comment about the extension of this meeting?
Right. I didn't say he was out of order, and actually a point of information is not allowed in the middle of someone else's statement unless that person chooses to yield, and I do not yield.
This is a point of order. You're off the subject.
Excuse me. Is there a second to extend the meeting for a specific amount of time?
Second. Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA, second.
Okay. Until 10:30 New York time.
Point of order, Madam Chair. Point of order, Madam Chair. This is not in order. We're talking about a postponement.
All right, Janet. Richard Duzel does not have the floor.
Please, people. Excuse me, please. I will take the right as the chair now to say that if the meeting is to be extended, it will be done without me. I cannot attend the meeting past 9 o'clock. I'm in an office building in a situation where I'm expected to continue with another process at 9 o'clock.
This is Kim with a point of order.
Okay, ma'am.
And this is
Lydia with a point of order.
Kim, then Lydia, then Richard.
I'm sorry, I wasn't finished. You allowed Richard to interrupt me.
I asked if you were saying anything else. I did not hear that you were not finished.
Wow.
What is the rest of your message, Serene, for extending the meeting for an additional hour?
Okay, I didn't say anything about an hour, first of all. I thought I said 10:30.
Point of order, Richard.
Okay. And my statement was that I would ask that we do one of two things. Either extend, I never got to say the second one, which is that because we must complete the job description to get anything happening, that we meet, we adjourn this meeting until the 25th of June, which is to say next Wednesday.
I second.
Point of order.
Excuse me. I'll call you in a minute, Richard. I didn't hear who that second was.
Lydia.
Okay, yes, Richard.
Madam Chair, this is not the subject. This is out of order. I made a motion to postpone Mr. Fuentes'
yes.
motion, and that should be dealt with before we go off into other motions. I think that, we can argue back and forth, but we have a motion on the table to postpone the motion that Mr. Fuentes made, and I would hope that we would get that settled before we move on.
Madam Chair, I had a point of order.
This
is Lydia.
I'll take your point of order, and then I am going to move.
Kim had a point of order first, Janice.
No, I did. I had a motion to divide way before the motion to postpone. So,
please point of order.
Motion to postpone, take precedence.
So mine was before yours.
Excuse me, Lydia. I know that you made a motion to divide the amendment. The secretary will need to assist me. I did not hear a second on that motion to divide the amendment.
You don't need a second in committee, Janice.
Excuse me?
You do not need a second in committee.
Okay, thank you for being recognized, Doreen. There's a point of order that Kim has, and then I'm going to ask that we move to address the motion that was made and seconded to postpone this until our next meeting.
My point of order is that we established a time certain of 9 o'clock at the beginning of this meeting.
Yes, we did. Richard, you made a motion
to vote on everything on the table.
Sorry, I missed a question. Is there a question to me?
Yes, Richard, you made a motion. The motion was seconded by myself. It did, and it included the date of July 21st. I'd like to call a vote on the motion, please. Kim, would you please call the roll?
Point of information.
Is there a point of information?
Yes, I have a point of information. I have a question.
Yes, please.
Okay. Richard made a motion to postpone. I made a motion to substitute either extending or adjourning or continuing the meeting. You must deal with the substitute motion before you can deal with the original motion. I'm speaking. Listen, did you recognize me, Janice? Because I don't know why this matter is not
talking. I hear Tareen, you speaking. I hear you. No one has asked you to
quiet. You know, he shouts point of order and then goes on to make his point. That's not how that works.
Okay, Tareen, it does not
work. Like you're doing some...
Brother, I definitely have a hard stop. Tareen, I am going to note that I have no second to your proposed substitute amendment.
Point
of order, Madam Chair, Richard.
Excuse me, Richard. Madam Secretary, was there a second to Tareen?
I think Lydia did second it. I'm not really keeping track of seconds since we're supposedly not needing to do that in committee. So, but I do recall Lydia saying second.
Point of order, Madam Chair. If you can't substitute something that is not germane to the original motion, changing the meeting by extending the meeting time. It's not germane to a motion to postpone. They're two different things.
Okay, thank you, Richard. I appreciate that clarification. It's 9 p.m. I'd like to ask the secretary to call the roll on the motion that was presented and seconded. And the motion is to postpone the revision of the executive director's job description until Thursday, July 21st.
All right.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Serene?
Okay. So are you ruling my substitute motion somehow out of order? And if so, on what basis, please?
I am ruling it out of order because it was not germane to the specific motion that was on the floor. It was a motion to extend the time or to change the meeting date. And so, yes, I am making that ruling.
But, well, I challenge the ruling of the chair. I'd like to speak to.
Okay, someone else will then have to assume the chair. I had a hard stop, very specific hard stop today for something that I cannot change. In the process of calling the roll for my decision and calling the roll for the motion is going to take, I'm sure, another 15 minutes. But with I
this Kim, point of order.
Yes, Kim.
I will say that Serene did not version as a substitute.
Okay. So I need to ask for a quick roll call for the I'm going to stay longer.
Kim, the
point of order.
Janice, you said you would acknowledge my point of order after you finished your statement. So how do you do that and just roll into
have to leave this call to raise
right,
as size as possible, and I will continue to chair this meeting for another 3 minutes.
Well, you know, it's rather curious that Kim Coffin gets to speak to my motion before I get to speak to my motion, but hey, I was very clear that the idea of postponing dealing with this motion, which was around the job description, was not acceptable, and that is why I was offering us two other alternatives. When I got the first one out, you said that wouldn't work for you. And then I had to struggle to be allowed to get the second one out, which was to continue the meeting so that we could deal with this issue. I began by saying not settling the job description is a problem, and therefore, so how anyone can imagine that that was not the intent of the motion is beyond reason.
Well, I will acknowledge that I am beyond reason because what I heard you say initially was to extend the time. Your reference to the improbability of coming back to this topic until a later date was in response to the motion. I did not hear it, and I did not hear it from the perspective of a substitute motion.
So, point of information, Jose Luis Fuentes, KPFA.
Yes.
So, Janice, if you have to leave, I understand that, but Kim, as a secretary, can then assume your responsibilities.
Yes, she can. I have asked that she call the roll. I'd like to take the vote, and then I would like to leave.